Well, turn, if you will, now to Psalm 132. Psalm 132, found on page 659 of your pew Bibles. We're drawing closer to a close of these Psalms of Ascent, finishing them up at Psalm 134 in a couple of weeks, Lord willing. Hear now this portion of God's word. Remember, O Lord, in David's favor, all the hardships he endured, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the Mighty One of Jacob, I will not enter my house or get into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob. Behold, we heard of it in Ephrathah. We found it in the fields of Jar. Let us go to his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, and go to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy for the sake of your servant David. Do not turn away the face of your anointed one. The Lord swore to David a sure oath from which he will not turn back. One of the sons of your body I will set on your throne. If your sons keep my covenant and my testimonies that I shall teach them, their sons also forever shall sit on your throne. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provisions. I will satisfy her poor with bread. Her priests I will clothe with salvation, and her saints will shout for joy. There I will make a horn to sprout for David. I have prepared a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but on him his crown will shine. And may God be pleased to bless and write these words upon our hearts as we meditate upon them this evening. Well, we come now to the longest of the Psalms of Ascent. Psalm 132, being 18 verses in length, it is by far the longest. And we're coming now, as I mentioned, to nearing the end of these pilgrim psalms. And here we reflect upon David, upon David's great desire to see the Ark of the Covenant brought into Jerusalem. And for that reason, we looked first at 2 Samuel chapter 6, that we might remember that trek, remember even the failures of that initial attempt. But here in Psalm 132, we see a yearning for God's dwelling place. And next, we look at the idea of the pilgrim ascending the mount as the Son ascends the throne. And lastly, blessed are those who dwell with him. Well, first, we look here in these early verses, verses 1 through 7, at a section of this psalm which lays out the great desire of David, the great desire that should be ours in Christ, to desire to dwell with the Lord. As he begins here in Psalm 132, we see that at the very outset, we are reminded of the hardships which faced David. And we read of one of those hardships this evening, but certainly as we recall the life of David, we can remember many hardships that befell David, from the difficulties that he faced by Saul, the many attempts that were made to kill him, the tireless searching of Saul after David and his men, being relegated to living in the wilderness. Certainly there were many hardships that he endured. And it's very possible that you have endured many hardships in your life, difficult seasons that have arisen within your life, perhaps difficulties that are even now weighing heavily upon your heart and your mind, where you don't know whether these things will be remedied soon or at all. But it's interesting as we look at this chapter, as it begins by reminding us of these hardships that befell David. It's good for us to note that David's concentration and focus isn't upon the hardships that he's faced. He chooses not to make that the center point of his life, to contemplate those difficulties and those pains that he has endured. But rather we see that his focus is, even in light of these hardships and difficulties, placed upon the Lord. We see clearly here his desire, what we might look at here as being his heavenly priorities. And certainly we see in the world today a tendency amongst people to dwell upon their own hardships, their own difficulties, to not be able to see beyond those things. They're almost all consuming. And it may be likened to a victim mentality that is quite popular today. And yet, though David in his life endured many hardships, we see he didn't take that posture of the victim. Rather, he looked beyond his own hardships to something that would be stable, something that would be lasting, something that was dependable. He looked to that one who had spared him from all of the efforts of Saul, the one who had preserved his steps, even when he found himself hiding in the back of a cave. He looked to God. And we see that though he had suffered these difficulties, rather than those difficulties drawing him away from the things of God, we see that he has been reinforced in his focus upon the Lord. Even here being described as one who swore to the Lord and vowed to the mighty one of Jacob, stating, I will not enter my house or get into my bed. I'll not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob. We see here the right priorities of David. His yearning was to be in that place, not to be holed up in his palace in Jerusalem while the throne of God was left out in the pasture, but rather that it would dwell where it had been intended, within the city of Jerusalem. And he makes that his focus. His priorities were to do and to serve the Lord, that it would take preference over his sleep. And that may be an area in which you struggle. It's one of the things when we often counsel individuals that are beginning to give themselves to doing their devotions, of some of the potential dangers that exist when we put off doing our daily devotions to the very tail end of the day, because we're often easily overcome by tiredness and sleep. And we tend to trail off from our study of the Word or engagement in prayer with the Lord, giving preference to Z's rather than to worshiping Him. But not only is it something that is pushed aside by sleep, so many of our other priorities in life, so many of our other activities in life, often vie to move God from that place of preeminence off to the side, because down deep we desire to pursue our own desires, our own passions of the heart, rather than truly hungering for God. Sometimes we learn some of these valuable lessons as we get older, when our ability to pursue the things of our heart begin to dwindle, and we find ourselves increasingly reliant upon others, that we again look at that as an opportunity to grow in our spending time with God, something which we still have the capacity to do. When the rigors of work are no longer before us, when the busyness of family life has diminished greatly, when our capabilities to move ourselves has been diminished, and we are left with that one who never leaves us, who has always been there, and we can enjoy a season of even more time in prayer and contemplating His Word. But we see here in David's example an encouragement not to put that off, but rather to maintain that focus upon Him today as we are able, to take the opportunities that He affords us to spend time with Him, gathering even as we do this evening with His people, that we may worship Him together, that we may study His Word together, that we may grow in our capabilities to serve Him better as a body. Behold, we heard of it in Ephrathah, we found it in the fields of Jar. Let us go to His dwelling place, let us worship at His footstool. For David, we increasingly see this as the greatest joy of his heart, to gather at the footstool of God and worship Him, to recall His kindness, to recall His faithfulness, to recall His promises, and to praise His most deserving name. And then he moves to the next section, verses 8 through 12. Arise, O Lord, go to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. For the sake of your servant David, do not turn away the face of your anointed one. The Lord swore to David a sure oath from which he will not turn back. One of the sons of your body I will set on your throne. If your sons keep my covenant and my testimonies that I shall teach them, their sons also forever shall sit on your throne. Here we see again David desiring that God would come and find his place to dwell there upon the mount, and that his priests would be clothed with righteousness. One of the delights when God's people gather together each Lord's Day to worship is the opportunity to see those, his priests, whom God through Jesus Christ has been pleased to clothe in righteousness. The church of Jesus Christ being a living representation of this desire of David, having been and being accomplished through the work of Jesus Christ. And it was this great desire that as the pilgrims would sing this psalm, as they would gather each of those three times to worship God together throughout the year, would fill them with that great desire to push ahead and ascend that glorious mount that they may gather and worship Him there. They too cried out together with one voice that God's promise would be realized, that He would send that one who would sit upon the throne of David for all time, the promised one of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ. For certainly they knew that many of the sons of David failed to uphold the commands of God. They didn't uphold His commands perfectly. And so we have here in verse 11, "One of the sons of your body I will set on your throne." This one being the one who had long been anticipated, the seed of the woman, the promised one of Israel, the one sent by God who would perfectly uphold all of His commands, the Lord Jesus Christ. Each year as those pilgrims would approach the city, this was the desire of their hearts, that God's promise would be realized. They yearned for that one who would come and sit upon the throne. And brothers and sisters, as we gather here this night, we gather in the realization of this promise. For Christ reigns even today upon the throne, at the right hand of God, having dominion over all that has been created, sustaining all that God spoke into existence. And lastly, we have a word of blessing. Blessed are those who dwell with Him. Verses 13 to 18. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for His dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provisions. I will satisfy her poor with bread. Her priests I will clothe with salvation. Her saints will shout for joy. There I will make a horn to sprout for David. I have prepared a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but on him his crown will shine. This morning we looked at the matter of the Lord's will. And here this evening we see demonstrated and explained God's will, His desire to establish Himself among His people. We saw that in the wilderness when God was pleased to establish His tabernacle in the midst of all of the assembled tribes. We see it here described as God dwells with His people on Mount Zion, seated upon His throne. And we know it this night as those who live in the glorious light of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God is pleased to dwell with us as He gathers with us, even this night, as we are assembled in this place to worship Him. And not only does He dwell amongst His people, but He showers blessing upon them. What is it that gives the Christian confidence? But that they know that one who was pleased to take them out of darkness. That one who was pleased to take them from the edge of the precipice. That one who accomplished perfect obedience to God's law and whose righteousness now has been bestowed upon their shoulders has been given life and is even today being sustained by His gracious and merciful hand. Certainly, we've seen this year an economy that's had many ups and downs. And there have been many who have been affected by those ups and downs when their paychecks have been affected. Either they have had to take time off and not receive payment, or their businesses have gone under, or their jobs have been lost. And yet we marvel at the ways that God has been pleased to provide. I think it's been interesting this year as I reflect upon even our own benevolence fund here at First RP. That in a year that we would have anticipated would have been perhaps overwhelmingly needed, God has met the needs of His people again and again. He's been pleased to maintain that fund. Even when it's been used, He's been seen fit to replenish it. Again, a testimony of God's continued care and protection and sustaining grace for His people. There I'll make a horn to sprout for David. I have prepared a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I'll clothe with shame, but on him his crown will shine. Blessed are those who dwell with him. And none of us know what tomorrow will bring. None of us know what these next months will bring. But may God be pleased to write this portion of His word upon our hearts that we may be encouraged, that we may not lose sight of the fact that He dwells with us. May we be comforted by His promises, that we may go forth with courage to speak of that one who now reigns supreme, that one who has been crowned glorious, that one who watches our steps and secures us day by day, who provides for our needs, and who ultimately we will dwell with forevermore. Let's look to Him in prayer. Almighty God, we thank You for what Christ has wrought. We thank You, Lord, that You do not stand afar off, but rather You have chosen to dwell with Your people. And Lord, in this time of not knowing, in a time where we cannot even guess what the coming weeks will bring, we thank You that You are with us and that Your promises stand firm, and that all who call upon Your name, Lord, You are pleased to give assurance. Assurance of salvation in Christ, confidence in that great inheritance which is ours in Him, that though this life is but a mist, our life in Him is forevermore. And Lord, in our finiteness, in our present capabilities, Lord, we do not see things clearly. And so, Lord, we pray that you would be pleased each day to help us to grow more aware of both your presence, but also, Lord, what you demand of us, that as you give us a new day, that we may first and foremost delight to do your will, counting it our greatest joy to be in the employ of our mighty Savior. Lord, loose our tongues that we might speak about this King. Lord, give us courage to speak to those at work, our neighbors, Lord, even our family members who need to know you, that they may grow acquainted as you are pleased to open their eyes, enliven their hearts, and enable their minds to hear and comprehend the good news of Jesus Christ. And, O Lord, may your church continue to grow. May it grow more splendid day by day as the might of your arm is on display, as you build your church, as your believers multiply and grow. Lord, you can do these things. Use us to the glory of your name, for we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.